This is Call with Dad's podcast, where today's issues, concerns, and joys of being a dad are discussed, with your hosts E.A. Maynard and Mr. Pancake sharing their views, experiences, and all things they know. Join the journey with us. Welcome to Call with Dads, more than a podcast or a website, but your home for a community of dads who want to be better. Now let's get started.
Start talking a bit, see where this leads us. We have Mr. Pancake behind the wheel, so he's going to sound funny every now and then. And Chris, it's good to have you here. I mean, your topic is one that I've known a few people that I've dealt with over the years that have gone through divorces, had kids. And mind you, most of them, one was his kids was in college. The other, his kids was still in diaper. So, I mean, there's a huge variation. And one thing I realized from my personal experience is for a dad going through divorce, there's so many different variations they have to focus on that there's no way to really know what to expect. But there are some general rules and general concepts they need to think about as well, correct?
Yeah, that's absolutely true. Like you said, you know, every circumstance is completely unique because of the parties involved, the kids involved, whether the kids are there or not, and just the type of interaction between the two the couple. So everything is different, and so you know there are some general rules, like you said, or you know I wouldn't characterize them as rules necessarily, but maybe things that could be universally applied that could help the divorcees as well as the kids, regardless of the age. So, but yeah, definitely some of the things might be more applicable depending on the age of the kids and of the couple too. So
mind you, I came from a family where my mom and biological dad got divorced. I think Mr. Pancake has made it clear that he's in the same situation there, and a divorce.
Yeah, me too.
And you know,
so 3 for 3 here.
There you go.
Three for three.
But the thing is I've seen people who their parents have gotten along well and were just, they might not have wanted to be around each other, but they could be around each other. Then you had like my parents where it was a disaster anytime they were near each other. And
same.
So, I mean, with you, you're divorced right now as well. You have kids. What lesson did you learn from your parents being divorced and all the stuff you went through that's helping you now deal with what you're going through?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, as you experienced, having your parents, you know, have that type of chemistry or basically inability to be around each other is very difficult on the kids. Now, we know divorce itself, having the family unit broken apart, like that alone, you know, can cause, you know, a lot of like, you know, emotional and mental type of distress. And so to have that type of interaction just kind of piles it on, and just makes things like infinitely worse and more stressful, and traumatizing. So I think, you know, knowing how bad that was, I think it's trying to make sure that my ex and I have a good enough relationship where our kids don't necessarily have to worry about that as much so, you know, because they're already having to deal with a lot. And so my kids are 14 and 12. So, you know, they're right at that, like that age where, you know, they're experiencing a lot in life, puberty and, you know, adolescence and things like that. So, you know, just understanding that their lives are changing, and they had no say, obviously, you know, no kids don't have say in their parents' decision to get divorced. So I feel like it's on the parents then to help make that transition and post the next phase of that life as good as possible for the kids.
All right. I mean, do you find the effects on kids? Like I said, I've dealt with my parents being divorced. My brother, 3 years older than me. It sounds like your kids are about the same age now as my brother and I were when my parents got divorced. And then younger kids tend to find, like, really they don't comprehend mommy and daddy are separated, they're not to blame. Some people, like, do you find there's a way to make it easier on the kids to handle and understand it? Or what have you found or read or what so have you?
Yeah, I think one of the important things to do is communicate with them. So what we've read and what we did ourselves is we sat them down when we decided to make that decision. And so number one, by doing so, and you know, again, every situation is different, so this might not be applicable to everyone, but we sat them down together. So it made it seem like, you know, it was a common decision between us. And you know, we explained the reasoning generally, without pointing fingers, because, you know, as much as possible, you don't want to try and pit, you know, the kids having to pick sides type of thing and having blame, but generally explaining that, you know, what's happening, that the relationship with each parent and the kids isn't really going to change, in that they're still going to be the kids, we're still going to love them and try and take care of them, and for us, you know, working together to still continue to co-parent the kids in the best ways possible, and also giving them a forum to express their feelings as well. I think, like, what happens, or what I've read that happens with a lot of kids, is that they're not given that opportunity to express how they feel, and they keep those emotions bottled up. And then, you know, in general, when you're a person is keeping these kind of negative emotions inside, you know, that can boil over in many different negative ways at some point down the line. So, you know, that those are some of the things that we did and we read from a psychological standpoint, can be helpful.
All right. Did you and your wife actually sit down, or I should say your ex-wife, but did you and your ex-wife, when you started getting divorced, and I don't know if it was a smooth divorce for you, a rough divorce, however it was, but did you guys actually, after you got everything calmed down or figured it out, sit down together and work together to figure out how to deal with handling the kids? And what challenges did you find from a dad's perspective? Because there's tons of emotions. I mean, even if you are no longer in love with somebody, you've spent all those years with somebody, that connection, whatever you want to call it, is still there. So there's still emotions bonded to that person that,
sure.
I mean, I have to imagine there's something that you had to kind of overcome to be able to figure out how to make things work the best for you and your kids.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say we necessarily sat down and kind of tried to hash things out. I think it's still a continual discussion and work in progress. But I think generally, you know, we were fortunate in that we have a similar vision for what we wanted for the kids in terms of education, extracurricular, like sports and things like that. So we're generally on the same page. So that made it easier for us in terms of kind of planning things out. And, you know, if there's a disagreement with the kids, you know, we can still kind of work together to kind of write the kids in terms of the things that they want to do. And so in terms of that connection, you're right. I mean, we were married for 14 years. So, you know, that's a pretty good amount of time. And we were friends for years before that. And then, you know, we will always obviously be connected by the kids, right? Like, mm-hmm. That won't ever change, even though our marital status changed. So, you know, I think there is still some of that. You know, it's not necessarily like feelings, but just this idea that, you know, for me, even though like our love and intimate connection is not there anymore, I still want the best for her. I want her to have the best life. And that's for her individually, but the better place that she's in life, the better that will be for the kids, the better that'll be for me. And, you know, even though we're not like a family anymore, like I said, you know, we are still connected, by way of the kids. So the better everyone is in all areas, mentally, physically, the better off everyone else will be as well.
Right, which makes sense. I mean, did you have something, Mr. Pancakes?
Listen to like kind of your story, a lot of it. It's interesting that you guys took that approach. I want to say, I want to say how amazing that is that you guys kind of worked together and are still actively working together. I would say you were talking about it earlier. One of the biggest, I would say, the biggest problems with divorce is like alienation of the other parent, whether it be the male or the female. Primarily, it's, let's be honest, it's the female alienating the husband. Cancel me. Sorry. Sorry, such is life. But reality is reality. Most times that is the case. That seems to be the big killer of children being upset and having harder times with things like divorce. Aside from the kids, because that's the obvious answer, aside from the kids, what made the two of you decide to, I guess, almost continue, even though you're not in a marital relationship, you're still kind of in a relationship as, I guess, cohorts, friends, partners in a sort. What made you want to continue? Because my experience with divorce is like, F you about, it's like, I want nothing to do with you. God, Odell,
There was some of
like,
that.
I believe it is. That's the only way divorce eventually happens, I'm assuming. My experience with divorce was my parents, obviously. That's the entire basis of Pancakes with Your Dad. It's where it came from. Obviously, the goal of Pancakes with Your Dad is separate from that, but that's where the idea came from originally, right? But like my parents, Pancakes with Your Dad was based off of basically like the once a month I would get to go see my father, that my mother would allow me to because the court forced her to, pretty much. And that's when my dad would make me pancakes or take me to Waffle House or whatever, and that was kind of the entire idea. What kind of, aside from obviously the betterment of the children, what made you two have decided to be a little bit more connected rather than just being like, love you later?
I think again, every situation is unique, so I understand, what ours is like is not going to be like that for everyone. Putting the kids aside, I think for us, we were friends for a long time before we actually ended up together. So I think there's some aspect of that, and this ability to get along outside of the marital relationship. Once we get together, maybe we see that we're not compatible in certain ways, or and so still trying to, I guess, go back to that friendship type relationship where things were much better. And still, working through like the differences that we had, and I guess in some ways like the negativity from our marriage, that's still there. But as they say, time heals all wounds, hopefully. But I think we have been able to like
That
get
the
a
general consensus is that the hope, like to where you guys can maybe you got divorced, maybe be separated for 5, 6, 7 years, whatever the case may be, and time heals the wounds, and you kind of figure each other out, figure each other's differences, and potentially get back together in the future. Is that something that is on your mind, but is it on yours and hers, or just yours, or just hers, or?
You mean get together like as in like remarried or something like
Yeah,
that?
like get back together ever.
Oh no, I don't know. I don't think that that's on either of our minds, honestly. So I think, yeah, in terms of the time healing all wounds, I think it's just being able to get over the resentment and kind of negativity that we went through the marriage. And so that's for our own personal like emotional and mental health. But then again, then bringing the kids right back into it, again, that'll just make their growth, especially with their stage in life, better and healthier as well. So
So let me ask this. So one thing that's popping in my head, and sorry to interrupt, but it just keeps wanting to come out is, as Mr. Pancake was talking about all these different things, the relationships and what so have you, the one thing that I keep seeing, at least from my friends who have gone through divorce and what I've experienced growing up, is there's always, my friends have always said they didn't expect this or they didn't expect that, or these are the things that they found that were just completely throwing them for a loop and hard to deal with. What have you found in your own experience that, like, as soon as the divorce happened or as soon as you guys decided to take that step, everything changed? And what was the things that popped to your head now that would say, I didn't expect this, or I didn't know I was going to be facing this?
In terms of the divorced life.
Yeah, I mean, it's a whole different life than going from even a bad marriage, you get settled. The bad marriage doesn't just happen. It grows and forms, and you kind of build up to that point of, I can't handle it anymore. And obviously that's usually what leads to the divorce. But what is it that once that happened, what changes, what shocks or differences in your life occurred that you didn't expect? I mean, there's some things coming, but what was it that you didn't know?
That's an interesting question. I don't know that there was anything, at least so far, that has been all that shocking. I mean, there's definite life adjustments that you have to make. My ex and I, we have 50-50 custody. So, I think there's an adjustment period in terms of the transferring of kids and making sure each place has enough things for the kids. So those things have been, I don't want to call them difficult, but challenging in some ways. And still, having to coordinate with the with my ex on different things. Because our kids are pretty active, there needs to be a lot of interaction. Sometimes we each have to do things when it's not our parenting time, simply because that's what the schedule dictates. I wouldn't say again, there was anything just mind-blowingly caught me off guard. And maybe, part of that could be because I experienced it as a kid with my parents being divorced, even though their custody arrangement was different and probably more traditional for that time. Whereas just visiting one parent every other weekend, Mr. Pancakes, you were saying once a month. So it is a little bit different with the split custody. I guess one of for us, when you have split custody, you want the kids to obviously stay in the same school. They're not going to jump between schools and stuff. So then, there becomes a certain consideration of where are you going to live? Are you both going to live in the same town? Or if you live in a different one, how that drive to school, just to activities and things like that. I think that becomes a consideration that maybe not everyone necessarily thinks about with joint custody like that. And that's definitely something that we've had to talk about and consider for our separate lives. So there's still this consideration of the overall, unit still with where the kids are going to school and different things that they're doing outside of school.
All right.
What about financial? For me in my current situation, not that we would ever get divorced, God hope not, but such is life. But what about financial situations? For me and my wife doesn't work. I every penny that comes into my house comes through me. It comes from me and stuff that I do. My now, we have a more traditional style, like classic American style, where it's the man does all the working, the woman does all the parenting and home stuff, and that's done by choice. I not everybody is either able or wants to do that. Not everybody has those style lifestyles. Not everybody wants that to happen. Such is life. But in your situation, how did you guys deal with financial set differences or separation?
Yeah, I think the court generally will do that. So now we again, because of our, I guess, more positive relationship, we were able to go through a mediator. So, didn't have to involve the lawyers and things like that. But generally, the courts will take into consideration who is the breadwinner, or what does each person contribute in that way? What is the earning potential of each person in determining how much one party needs to pay to the other in terms of spousal support, for child support and things like that. So, without getting into the details of our specific situation, I think regardless of a family's a couple's facts, that's generally, I think, what the courts across the board will do. Maybe they have different factors that they'll consider depending on, which state you're in. But that's generally how they do it to try and make it fair for both parties, really.
So let me ask this. How long have you been divorced, if you don't mind me asking?
No, that's okay. Actually, I am not technically divorced yet. It's a process that should be wrapping up pretty soon. We had decided last year to do it. That's about the time when I came up with the idea for Daddy Divorcee. And it just kind of took us a little bit of time with the mediator and things like that, and getting our papers filed. So, to answer your question, we're not actually divorced yet, but I separated for about 6 months, about a year from when we decided to get divorced.
Okay, so you guys have been separated 6 months, but started everything about a year ago.
Yep.
Now, the one thing I was thinking about is the big problem I hear, and I don't know if you've even given this any thought at this point, but and again, a lot of this is me going through, like, what my friends that I've dealt with that's gone through divorces, relationships in the sense of dating again and the different things. I had one friend that he didn't really feel comfortable dating for quite some time. And then I had another friend who wanted to date, but it just felt weird to him. And there's different perspectives of it. Is that something you've even thought about at this point, or is it something that you've kind of entertained, or what's your view on it?
Yeah, I as I was earlier in the process, I was definitely of the mind that I have zero interest being in a relationship again, and definitely not being married again. It was more just, again, as with this like Daddy Divorcee thing and kind of some of the stuff that you've seen that I put out, it was really like I'm just gonna, do me and, focus on the kids. Live life to the fullest, and not have to, no interest in being in a relationship and anything like that. But I think as time went on, I think generally at our core, I feel like everyone ultimately wants to be with someone that they want to share their life with. I don't think we want to be isolated. I mean, there are some people that do, but I think most people want that connection with someone. And then it just becomes a matter of, well, who is that someone going to be down the line? And so one of the things that, I've tried to do with my divorce, is kind of learn from it in multiple ways. One, understanding what I could have done better, because ultimately you can only, I think as much as you wish someone else would be different or do something different, you can't control what they're going to do. And that's, works for me towards my ex and her towards me. We both wanted us to be able to do certain things that the other, maybe in some ways wasn't willing to do. And for me, I definitely wasn't blameless or faultless. There are tons of things that I could have done better. And so it's number one, understanding what are those things that could have, if let's say I had done these things from the outset, maybe our whole relationship is different. And I'm not sitting here today. You know what I mean?
Right.
So that's first. But then I think second is understanding, maybe having a better idea of the different qualities and characteristics that I would want in another partner. And so, you know, understanding those things and you know, feeling like I can implement them in any future relationship, I think definitely opens me up to that. Like I said, I think we all want that. I think I want that if I'm being realistic with myself. Just like as a side story, we did try couples therapy, and I had said during that to the counselor, I'm never going to get in a relationship. And he just kind of like chuckled and was like, okay, sure. You know, like I'm sure he's heard that many times and then seen, you know, it not end up that way. So,
well, we all like to say we'll never do something.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
That was one of my next questions. I mean, you don't want to know my opinion on dating or remarrying or all that stuff. Promise. That's let's just say I'm very like I'm really traditional, and I'm not a super religious person, but when it comes to things like that, I do follow religion and I believe in it wholeheartedly in those particular aspects.
Sure. So I had a blended family growing up. So, you know, I think blended families are really challenging because, you know, I think the Bible basically says, and I'm not super religious either, Mr. Pancake. So, you know, a lot of the things that, you know, I talk about from a religious standpoint, could definitely be, inaccurate. But it's a lot of just based on what I know and makes sense to me, but, you know, you're supposed to put your spouse first. The spouse comes first, right, even before your kids. And that works right in a nuclear family generally because the kids are both of yours, right? So, you know, and the kids are, you know that these are both your parents. And so they love each other and then they love you and will take care of you. Then when you bring in a blended family, you know, do you put your new spouse ahead of your kids now? Now that those kids might feel jaded because that's not their mom or dad, right? That's someone new that's being brought into the family. And now you're spending more time with her or him than with us. You know, these type of feelings could develop. So, you know, one of the things that I had put out on Daddy Divorcee once was my son had come to me not too long after we had told him. And he was just like, are you guys going to get remarried with someone else? And I was like, I think it's pretty early to be asking that, you know? And he was like, cause I don't want that. I was like, well, you know, I understand where you're coming from. And I think, again, you know, it's way too early to be thinking about that. So, you know, don't worry about that right now. But just in general, if and when that time comes, I think, you know, one of the things that I would want to make clear to any future partner is that, hey, listen, my kids are going to come first. I'm, you know, that I have to do a lot, do things for them. I want to put them in the best position to succeed in life and things like that. You know, I would want to make that clear to the other person, and that person would have to be good with it. And so I explained that to my son. He seemed pretty good with it. And I think with my dad and my stepmom, that was something that my dad made clear to my stepmom. And you know, that made things good. So, yeah, I think that kind of like eased my son into that. But it can create an interesting dynamic if it's not clear to the parties, you know, what that priority will be.
So,
yeah. And I completely understand, you know, how divorce happens and people. I'm not against divorce. I'm against like getting a divorce just because. Like, divorces happen. They're gonna happen. It's, you know, part of life. A lot of times you just simply can't avoid them. But I mean, there are people that are just like, they just get divorced just because. Like, I served in the military for a long time, and people would literally get married just so they can get housing benefits. Then they would have two kids and go, we don't like each other. And then they just simply get divorced. You know, and I see that happening more and more in society today, rather than trying to find ways to work it out, ways to spend time together, maybe even pawn the kids off on the grandmas and, you know, get your butt on a dating relationship thing and go spend some time together, you know, doing it and eating cupcakes and stuff all month, you know, for like a whole month or something, whatever rekindles your fire, you know. But I find it, as soon as somebody wants out, they're like, I want out, see ya. You know, I find that more often today, and that's what I'm against. I'm against that. So I'm not against divorce, but in my mind, a divorce, once it happens, it's like I guess I'm just doomed to never have sex again or never have a relationship again. I'm alone forever. Kids are number one now. You know, that's just my mind. That's how I look at it. I look at it as basically, if it's not with my wife, it's never again. Marriage is forever.
Sure. Yeah, no, I think a lot of people feel that way. But
life changes and life adjusts, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Exactly. You know, I think a lot of people sometimes can have a certain position, and this isn't directed at you, Mr. Pancakes, but you know, have a certain stance, and then they then find themselves in that situation, and then they're just like, oh, wait a sec, you know, now I see where other people are coming from. You know what I mean? So. You know, not to say that would happen to you, but you know, I can definitely, I've seen some people like, you know, really just adamant about, you know, something and just very vocal about it. And, you know, just in the back of my head, I can see myself saying, well, you know, let's see what happens, you know, 5-10 years down the line.
Right.
And maybe you find yourself in the same position. See if you're going to be, you know, saying the same things. So,
yeah, I mean, well, without getting canceled again, I will say, you know, women these days are not the same. You know, women, like years ago, women served their families. They served their husbands. Now, I'm not saying they're on their knees, you know, scrubbing their feet and taking off their shoes serving. I'm saying, you know, they you know, the man serves the family by going off and, you know, earning and so on and so forth to provide, and the woman serves the family through, you know, service at home. You know, that was years ago. Today, women are different. Women want what men want. Women want to go have a career. Women want to be outside the home and stuff like that. So things are way different, you know. So I think that a lot of people don't realize, you know, I have that traditional mindset, but if I ever got in that situation, it's similar to our however many episodes ago, the Jody Plachet thing. I say I'm this way, but what happens when I get in that situation? You know, I think it's definitely something to consider. You know, what I may get in that situation and go, oh, well, my testosterone's through the roof, so I need to go get something to eat. You know what I mean? So, such is life. Life changes and things work around themselves.
Right. And that kind of leads me to another thought that just popped in my head is, you know, I've heard people talk and say, you know, if you're in a bad marriage together is better than being divorced on the kids, this and that. Now,
you know, I have a lot of thoughts on that.
Yeah. And I think about it like, and just as a reference, my biological dad, when him and my mom were together, he was doing drugs. He pointed guns at people. He wasn't a great guy. But them getting divorced was probably, at the time, a rough period. It was hard on my mom for a while and all this. But then she ended up meeting my stepdad, and I actually learned more from being around my stepdad on how to be a good dad, how to be a good guy and all this stuff than I did from my biological dad. So as much as people say you bet it's better to be in a bad marriage than divorced, I want to say there's situations where that's true, and then there's situations that's not true, because my mom definitely should not have been around my biological dad. He was, at the time that they were married, it was a bad situation.
Nobody should have been around my biological mom. She was a nutbag.
But where do you come from that? Because obviously you might have started off with that thought, but at a point it had to go differently.
Yeah, I would say I never started off with that thought. And I, again, you know, a lot of what we experience as kids kind of shapes our view on certain things like divorce. So, you know, my my parents were, it was a rough household, a lot of fighting. And so when my parents got divorced, it was a lot more peaceful. And so, you know, I have this view that if you can have a strong marriage, where both parties are willing to work on themselves and then work with each other to have a healthy household, then that's great. That is ideal. But I find that very, I don't want to say rare, but that a lot of people are not willing to do that. Now, each family situation, again, is very different and unique. But so, you know, let's say in a toxic household where there is a lot of fighting, that's not healthy for the kids, you know, to grow up around that. You know, I grew up around that. And like I said, it was rough, and I'm probably still dealing with a bunch of crap from that, as are my siblings, you know what I mean? So this idea that, okay, we're so against being divorced, either for religious reasons or this idea that we're going to do it for the kids, but then we're not going to do anything to make this environment any better. You know, I don't agree with that. Now, I'm not going to tell anyone that they need to get divorced. That's a decision that everyone needs to make on their own, given their facts and circumstances. But I just don't see how maintaining a toxic household is going to be any better for the kids than if you got divorced. You know, yes, there can be issues that arise from divorce and having separate households, but there are going to be tons of issues that arise from a, you know, couple that stays together and has a very toxic relationship. Now, not all bad relationships are overtly toxic in fighting. But maybe there's not a loving relationship, right? Maybe it's just roommates, right? We'll stay together, keep this unit together for the kids, but, you know, we're not going to hug and kiss or do things together, or we sleep in separate rooms. I don't know that that's the best thing for the kids either, because, you know, maybe they don't know that, you know, the parents are, you know, really not going to be together, and they're just staying together until we get to college or whatever. But they're going to view this as what a normal relationship is, right?
Yeah.
So then they're that's not learning.
That's what should be.
Yeah, exactly. So then they're not learning from what they observe, what actually is a healthy relationship. And then, you know, maybe then they're more likely to perpetuate that down the line. And then, so now maybe if they're in their relationship and they either copy that same thing, or they're with a spouse who is like, this is not what I want in a relationship, then maybe now they're on the track for divorce, you know? So like, I just think, again, not advocating for divorce, but if the family unit, if the parents are not going to be in a loving relationship with each other, I just don't know that that's the best thing for kids, even if the reason for staying together is for the kids.
Right. And I agree with you there. So, I mean, So with my viewpoint on that is, like I said, with the situation, my biological dad and my ma, that was a horrible situation. And if I would have grown up seeing that kind of thing, God imagines how I would have turned out, you know?
Right. Yep.
But I saw my stepdad and my ma, and, you know, they were very good together. They were loving. They had arguments and disagreements. Don't get me wrong. No one, very few people have a perfect marriage.
Right.
But it's the first marriage isn't always the best. Or some people, like Mr. Pancake says, some people, they get married just so they get benefits. And it does appear to seem nowadays that people are looking at marriage as a commodity, as a disposable utility to use. Yeah, basically, hey, I want this, you want this, let's get married so we have this. And then after it's over, let's go our separate ways or what so have you. And I disagree with that mindset of getting married with the thought of being divorced. But I do see your point, and I do agree with you. If you get married wholeheartedly to have a good marriage and things go south, then you have to do what's best for you and your family, no matter if that means going through a divorce and being able to show your kids how being in a healthier position is better than being in a bad position.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. And kind of going back to both your points about the motivations behind getting married, I did see something that said, well, it's just so easy to get married, but then going through divorce is a much longer and difficult process because then you have things like, kids and assets and things like that. But maybe marriage is too easy. Maybe they need to make marriage more difficult if you really don't want divorce to happen. I don't know that the issue is to like bring back fault divorce because people can still find a way to not again have a healthy relationship. But yeah, maybe there need to be more requirements in order for people to get married. Like can't just run to Vegas and just go to someplace there. You see that happening. I think you see the celebrities are just like they get infatuated with another celebrity and think like, yeah, let's just get married. But then 2 weeks later, it's like, oh, they're not together anymore. So like I think there are some people that are treating marriage as like basically like dating. And I, maybe again, maybe it just needs to be more difficult to happen.
So now,
Yeah.
me
I
personally.
mean, yeah, I kind of agree on that. But I also see marriage differently than probably a lot of people. Like I said, I'm not super religious, but I am religious. But I have some of my views on certain things are like extreme religion. You know what I mean? Which is not me. I'm not super religion guy. But in my mind, as far as I'm concerned, when it has anything to do with the government telling me about me and my marriage and my wife and my family, it's like, you, buddy. Who are you to tell me about me and my family? You know, I mean, that's how I feel about the government. So when it comes to the government creating laws to make it more difficult or whatever, like the only reason you're even involved is because I allow it, So to me, marriage is a covenant between two people in the eyes of God. So the government has no say or play or part in it whatsoever. And it to me, that's more along the lines of the reason why there is so much divorce is because people view it they don't view it as a covenant in front of the eyes of God. They view it as a marriage contract signed by you and another person in front of with conditions in front of the government. If you do this and you do this, then we can be married and so on and so forth. It's kind of like signing a contract to buy a car. You know what I mean? It's not the same. So I think societal ideologies, along with a lot of shenanigans on social media and BS and cancel word, sorry, hoflation. I don't know if you ever heard of hoflation. All of these things combined is what causes it to I guess be high numbers. Because I mean, you look at high religion countries, marriage is like 10 and 15%. But America, which used to be one of the higher religion countries, religion's almost out the window here, is now what, over, we're at like what, 54%, something like that. 54% of all marriages end in divorce, something crazy like that. So I don't know. That's just me. As well as I canceled, hoflation is a real thing. That is actually a thing. And if our listeners or you don't know what hoflation is for to kind of explain it, is our grandparents and our grandfathers had to work 10 times less to get a woman or married and have kids and have family with a woman that's 100 times better than the woman today. So basically, men today have to work 10 times harder than our grandfathers to get a woman. And that woman is worth 100 times less than a woman of the same caliber, 100 years ago. Basically, like they're so quick to cheat. They're so quick to be like, "I screw you in divorce." They don't want to serve their family. They also want to have a career and screw the kid. There's so many things, and it's and a lot of people want to deny that stuff, but the statistics actually show it. There are real numbers on this stuff where women today act and do things like that are way worse than they used to. Not that I'm hitting on women or hitting hard on the women, but it's a reality that actually is creating a toxic level of divorce.
Let me do this because I want to do a compare and contrast kind of thought here, because listening to both of you discuss the views, the one thing that's hitting me is I am all for the government being out of our business as much as possible. I mean, I can't say that enough, but the one thing that I do realize, like my wife and I, for an example, we met and 4 months later we're married, and we've been married for 10 years. Now, that's not a normal situation, but what it used to be like is you would get engaged, go to your local church to talk to your pastor, your priest, or whatever the religious head is, and then you would go through a process through the church or through the temple or what so have you, and they would have you do all this stuff before they even agreed to marry you. And it was almost like a marriage counseling, which was a good thing. And, you know, I've told my wife that there's times, especially at the beginning of our marriage, if we had to go longer, we probably would have never gone married. But because we did things the way we did, we are lasting longer because we're both stubborn. We're both agreeing these are our goals. And the marriage is built stronger, even through our fights. And things are much better now than before, but it's also thinking, yes, if the government got involved with demanding a counseling before you got married, then I would be against that. But I do see the value in people using religion or using a marriage counseling before you get married. Right. I mean, what's the thoughts on that?
Yeah, well, I think those are great points brought up by both of you, and something that I didn't really think about, because you know, you just think of marriage and divorce as just they are what they are. Mm-hmm. But I think when you do look at it from a religious standpoint, I mean, the fact is, you know, like you noted, not everyone is religious and believes in God or are Christians, right? But those people can still get married.
Yeah.
So this idea that, of course, they're not going to be thinking, well, I'm making a covenant under God. They're simply viewing it as it is a legal status, because that's what it is.
Yeah.
So maybe, you know, there has to be, like, you know, there's a different way to view it, one from a legal standpoint and then one from a religious standpoint. And so when you talk about, like, or when I was mentioning requirements, you know, for people who... you know, who are religious, having to go through these things to make sure, this agreement that you are making to God is extremely important and not something that can be taken lightly. And to have that guidance from a spiritual leader to be able to talk both people through that, to make sure they understand what that covenant means, and then what is ultimately how difficult marriage is, and how difficult parenting is, and just making them aware of that, and really maybe just like educating them to maybe just see beyond their infatuation with the other person. I think that's what happens, right? You fall in love with someone and you want to spend the rest of life with them without really understanding what the rest of that life is actually going to be like. It's not like the movies. There's like a ton of crap that you're going to go through, no matter how much you love the person and are, you know, are into them and want to be with them. You know, so then it's how are you going to handle conflict? Now, conflict resolution is huge. How are you going to communicate? What are each of your communication styles? What are your love languages? All these type of things. And to be able to go through that and understand that, you know, it's not as simple as loving someone right now in order to, you know, make that decision to want to get married with them. You know, that I think those are all good things. And I, you know, think like premarital counseling is a great thing through the church. And something that I think would be great. You know, I think if that happens, that can, you know, maybe it could give certain, you know, people pause before going through it. But I think also what ends up happening a lot, even if they do go through those type of things, a lot of times you don't realize how difficult it is until you're in it. Right. Mm-hmm. So you can going through something like that. You know, I totally understand. Yes, we'll be able to make this work. And, Sure, we have these differences, but that shouldn't be a problem. You know, love will win out in the end, you know. So like even the go through, you know, these the training and counseling and whatever beforehand, I think if people want something to happen, they'll make it happen. And then when things get difficult, you know, maybe they're like, oh, like, oh, you know, shouldn't have done that.
Right. And
right.
Yeah.
And one of my mindsets is one of my mindsets on that is, you know, I guess for a shorter version of how to explain all that, I guess it just would be proper parenting and societal morals, you know, overall and in general. Societal morals will help with staying together, and proper parenting will develop the knowledge of the children as they grow and get older to that age to where they get to old enough to actually consider somebody for marriage. They'll already have that knowledge. So then they won't actually have to go through, to Eric's point, they won't actually have to go through some sort of long-term version of counseling. You know, they can just simply decide to get up and go get married, you know, which is their right. I do believe in their right to just say, I want to get married and go tomorrow. But that's where, you know, that's where societal morals and proper parenting come into play over time.
Yeah, and I think that kind of backs up the point I was saying about, you know, what the kids are growing up in and what they're seeing with their own parents, and, you know, being
Correct.
Able to set a certain positive example in terms of what a relationship looks like, and, you know, when you face challenges, how to deal with those challenges. And when kids are growing up in an environment that does those things in a healthy way, then they themselves are more likely to learn and do those, you know, problem solving, conflict resolution, communication in a positive way for when they're ready to get married as well. So I agree with that. But, you know, societal societal morals are not good,
right,
though.
That's where, like you said, divorce, if it's for the children, then it's unfortunate, but it's the right thing.
Right.
And, you know, the big takeaway that I'm getting is that, you know, there's going to be hundreds of different situations that are going to happen going through divorce. And even the marriage itself is, like you said, a lot of people do go into marriage thinking, well, we love each other and love conquers all. Yeah. I'd say it. I've heard that so many times at this point, I laugh at it, because the one thing that marriage has definitely taught me is love is great, but love's not going to pay the bills. And if you can't pay the bills, literally, no matter how much you love each other, things are going to start rubbing you wrong and things are going to happen. There's thousands of ways that a marriage can fall apart, and you never know it until you get to that point. So I agree that a marriage should not stick together if it's a toxic or a bad marriage. That kids need to see a positive experience, even if it's parents being separated and living their lives in a more positive role. So those things I do think are fantastic points that you've made. And I really think people should look at, one, yes, work on your marriage, try to have a good marriage, but know that there's times that you just have to walk away. It's like a job. You're not going to be in a job where the boss is yelling at you every day, treating you like dirt. It makes no sense. So, I mean, Chris, I don't want to drag you on all day with this, because Mr. Pancake and I can talk for an ungodly amount of time, to be honest with you. We can go down numerous rabbit holes. We've proven that over and over again. But where do people find you if they want to follow you, want to reach out to you, want to ask you questions? Where do you want them to go to do so?
Yeah, they can. I'm mostly on X. My X handle is Daddy Divorcee, DaddyDivorcee. I'm just try to put out positive content, any helpful content for people who are either divorced or thinking about it or in a rough place. And I think a bigger goal that I have in project that I have in the works is to be able to create a community, kind of like a safe place for people to come and, you know, talk about their problems or get advice, and things like that. And, you know, frankly, not feel like they're being judged, because you're going to be around other people who are going through the same things. You know, one of the things I see on social media just full of judgment from people, you know, who aren't in the same situation. So I feel like a lot of people don't want to come out and talk about it. But you know, I want to be able to create this place where, you know, people just feel safe and around other people who have gone through the same thing or are going through the same things.
I'll tell you what, when you get that community up, I want you to come back and talk to us more about it.
Yeah.
Because, you know, as much as we do talk to parents and to dads that talk about a healthy marriage, this and that, dads do need to know that there's somebody out there to talk to when the marriage doesn't work. So I definitely
Absolutely.
Know that I would like you to come back on. I can see Mr. Pancakes is in the same mindset. So
sure.
Once you get that community
Agreed.
Up, I want you to come back on and talk to us about it, let people know about it and what so have you. Mr. Pancakes, where do you want people to find you?
Yeah, absolutely. So first off, before I tell you all about my websites and stuff, I do want to say, you know, well, your page and what you're doing is definitely a noble and good project, and it's very awesome, and I actually love the idea. It's very rare that you see people going out of their way to help others with a situation that they're involved in. And unfortunately today, like we talked about, divorce seems to be a much more prevalent thing in today's society. There's many more divorced people or getting divorced people than there ever was ever before in history. So having somewhere to go, to look up information, to get that knowledge and, you know, maybe even feel better about the decision you made, is definitely important. And let's all be honest, you know, it's like we discussed, it's about the kids. You know, if it's like I may be the proponent about no divorce, not ever, I hate it. But if it's worth it for the children, then it's worth it for the children. Children is what it's all about. So I just want to say thank you. It's a great page.
I appreciate that. Yeah, thank you.
As far as my page, everybody probably knows by now. I do have Facebook, Pancakes with Dad, as well as X. It's Pancakes WD Dad because, you know, X is weird and they won't let me go with your dad. And then I did have an Instagram, but it kind of dumped, so it's weird, but whatever. Instagram was weird anyways. I also have a LinkedIn, so I'm very active on LinkedIn, X, Facebook, as well as Truth Social. Truth Social is the OG Pancakes with Dad page. That's where a lot of the majority of the ideas and stuff happened and came from and went to first, as well as the number one place if you want to find all of that stuff is the website, www.pancakeswithyourdad.com. It's the best place to find all of my content, all of my articles, any fatherhood or masculine resources, man resources. There might even be stuff for females or women, and hopefully we can even have a mother's corner one day when I get time to build it. There is, don't forget about the learning center. There's one course in there. There will be more courses slowly but surely. The course is free, is to help you learn and build your LinkedIn. If you're a professional and you would like to maybe learn to build your LinkedIn and resume and build yourself up to promote and maybe build your career long run. And I'm in the process of working on a section in the Resources Center that is all about woodworking, and we'll have plans and directions and all of that stuff. Obviously, I'm downloading them from somewhere. I'm good with woodworking, but I ain't got the time or the resources to develop and design my own plans. So I'm definitely getting them from somewhere, and I will cite all the sources so you can find them as well. So when it's up and running, obviously.
And with that, Call with Dads is easy to find because it's callwithdads.com. We're on X, Facebook, LinkedIn. We do have a True Social, but I'd say I haven't managed it in quite some time, which I'm bad about. But generally, go to the website, you find where you can find the YouTube videos, you can find the audio. If you're looking for a new place to listen to audio and you can't find us, there's links on the website to do so. So we've made this as easy as we can. We try to give you resources, and you can also contact us through the website, either me or Mr. Pancakes, and you can ask us if you want to have a question for the guest, but you want to be anonymous. Feel free to do so. We'll reach out to them and let them know. With that,
we're constantly trying to make things better. We're constantly trying to help this show grow. And if you want to help us do that, we have affiliate links. We have a buy a cup of coffee option, and we're working on other things to do so as well. So with all that being said,
cool merch, plenty of cool merch.
Yes, Mr. Pancakes on his website does have plenty of merch, and there's even some on Call with Dads. But with that, Chris, thank you again for being here. I really enjoyed the call, the conversation. I think you gave a lot of great information, a lot of great information that I don't hear very often and is very essential for dads to hear. I mean, it's a community that needs to know they're not alone, needs to know there's somebody out there to talk to and what so have you. So thank you again. This is goodbye for everybody else, but if you can hold on for us for a second, I would be quite appreciative.
Yeah, no, that sounds great. I thank you guys for having me on.
Absolutely. Thank you.